some of these catastrophes that may have occurred because of Venus, are we talking about the flood of Noah's era, things like that?
Well, now, George, okay, that's the toughest kind of question, because our memories collectively, our cultural memories, are cluttered with all kinds of themes that are not integrated in any way. It all just seems incredibly chaotic. I mean, it's well acknowledged that virtually every ancient culture had a tradition of a great catastrophe. This would be a world-ending catastrophe, and many cultures had memories of a disastrous flood. Now, the flood figures very prominently in this reconstruction. It's very hard to establish the context for this without other things becoming clear first. Everything comes down to there was a land of the gods. It was not Earth. There was a land of the gods. It was a formation in the sky dominated by planetary forms that were called gods. But in the course of storytelling, over the centuries, the stories of these gods were translated into legendary ancestors, into great men, into ruling kings, into princesses and fairy figures, and so on. So how do we approach this issue of clarifying the story? The nature of this formation in the sky, the dwelling of the gods, which was in fact the subject of the primitive creation, the archaic creation legend. All of the creation legends describe the bringing forth of the dwelling of the gods. Now, the doomsday catastrophe must have had a horrific consequence for the earth. But in the first stories, in the earliest records of that doomsday event, the victims are the gods themselves. The world that is overwhelmed is that spectacular dwelling of the gods in the sky. And you can prove this beyond any reasonable doubt by taking the components of that story, like there is this world mountain, there is this cosmic mountain. Where does the dwelling of the gods lie? It lies on the summit of this mountain, remembered as the world's highest mountain. So this isn't our world at all. Our world was never a subject of the archaic myths. That's the hard thing to register. You have to be able to show this to people in terms of the symbols and the design elements and the practices and the monumental memory, the cultural monument building that was always pointing back to this archaic memory of the land of the gods. The deluge was the devastation and the end of that configuration in the sky.
Why,
it's not the familiar story.
Why are people so fearful of comets, much more than just about any other kind of heavenly object?
It's because there was a doomsday comet. And everything we ever thought about comets, every symbol, every hieroglyph for comets anywhere in the world was given by the symbolism or the story of the great comet. And that figure was Venus. So there's a character of the planet Venus that stands out amongst the early cultures. And it will always culminate in the story of the terrible comet Venus, this frightful form in the sky. And that form, incidentally, is nothing else than the terrible aspect of the mother goddess.
It must have looked huge, David, as it was approaching. Huge.
Oh, well, it wasn't just huge. It was earth-threatening in every sense of the phrase. And it was discharging to a spectacular level. Now, where did this story of the mother goddess, the form in the sky that personified light and radiance and glory and love and life, how did it happen that that story around the world culminates in this goddess growing angry, the terrible goddess, the angry goddess, the witch, the hag, and so on? threatening to destroy the world, raging across the sky with this wildly disheveled, fiery, smoky hair. That's the story of the Great Comet. Now ask yourself this, how many cultures in the world did not remember Venus as the mother goddess? There's only one planet that any culture called the mother goddess. Now that is telling you, don't believe in accidents. That couldn't be just a coincidence. It's the coherent memory speaking in the early astronomies. The mother goddess is this planet, Venus. Now, that's worldwide. That's oceanic. That's the Americas. That's throughout the Near East, China, ancient Egypt, ancient Mesopotamia. Always, mother goddess is the planet Venus.
And that's the best way they could describe it at the time, isn't it?
That is it exactly, George. See, they had no other language.
Wallace, when, if Velikovsky is correct, when was this comet captured?
This is a question that we can't really answer definitively because all the usual methods of dating have to be looked at again if this sort of interference occurred on a planetary scale. I think there's sort of round figures of the end of the last ice age, you know, something like 10, 12 or so thousand years ago.
So not a long time in terms of space time.
Certainly not, and certainly not in terms of geological time either. It means that, some of the things that we see on the Earth's surface and on other planetary surfaces are very young indeed. But as I said, the normal geological method of dating has to be looked at again. In the aftermath of these very intense electrical discharges, which can cause nuclear reactions to occur.
What would cause Velikovsky to even think that Venus was a captured comet? What were the signs that he saw?
I think from his book Worlds in Collision that he was using that forensic technique that both Dave and I have followed. And that is, you look at a whole lot of unreliable witnesses and their statements, and you pick out the odd things, which they all seem to remember, even though they may describe it differently. And I think that was the trigger for me. It made me feel that Velikovsky had made a very strong case, and that it couldn't be just dismissed on the grounds that somebody didn't believe it conformed to their law.